Would you employ this guy? Let's see. There we go. Would you employ this guy? Looks a little bit sheepish with his bag on his shoulder and he's heading out the door. Imagine, please, if you will, if you're a big-time sports coach, you have not quite Sir Alex Ferguson's longevity, but you have 10 seasons at the top of the game in your current post leading the organisation, and your team has a great record. You've got to the finals probably half of those years, and you've won it more than half of those years that you got there. This guy's looking for a job. He did great in high school. Indeed, in sixth form, as we know it, he won some national trophies for being at the top of his game. He made it to the big time. And when he finished in school, he was picked for a top team. But then he didn't achieve anything that season. Indeed, he hardly got off the bench. He was a sub all year. Next season, the team's in a spot of bother, in a bit of a pickle. And he comes off the bench halfway through the season, and he virtually takes them to the cup final. Here he is celebrating I think that's the quarter-final win. They lose in the semi-finals, one game short of the biggest game of the year. Massive media following, of course, taking this losing team from losing halfway through the season to virtually winning. Everybody thinks he's the saviour. Big hype in the media. The pundits are divided. Some think he's just got lucky, and some think he's absolutely brilliant. Just rode the wave, or actually the best leader we could possibly have. Transfers to another team at the end of the season. That says something about his manager that year, doesn't it? And he is back on the bench, hardly plays at all. There he is, number 15 in the bench seats. Great promise, the media say, but not producing at the highest level. Finally, the team he's just transferred to, after one season, sack him and he's out the door. No one wants to know. Are you going to employ him? Shall I ask you to put your hands up? That's a real life situation. This guy's name is Tim Tebow. He's stood up and been counted for his faith in the sport of American football for the last 5 or 6 years. When he was at high school, they wear eye black to stop the sun shining in their eyes. He would wear Bible verses on there. And the verse he put on his eye black got hit on the internet, and you could see the trend on the internet. And he spoke freely and openly about his faith and has made many statements. And he's stood up and been counted. And in that year, he took the team to the final. He started a craze. It was called Tebowing. And he, at the end of the game, oh, can we get that back? Any chance of getting that back, Tom? There we are, lovely. The end of the game, he would lead the players in prayer. Not just his team, not just when he won, him and the opposition, if they would join him. Openly celebrating and declaring his faith. Would you hire him? Would it make a difference? Do you want him to be part of your team? He motivates people. Well, one guy has, and his name is Bill Belichick, and that's his picture there. Some see this as an unlikely choice. Bill has rather a strange reputation in American football. He has been fined £500,000 for spying on the opposition, using proper spying techniques against other football teams. He cut a player just before the biggest game of the season because he didn't need him anymore. Didn't let him get his Super Bowl paycheck, finish the season. Not quite the devil incarnate, but that phrase has actually been used in the press about him. Why go to that team? Why would he hire this guy? Is this really going to work out? We don't know. It's only just happened. Does this guy really fit in here? Big questions. But now we come straight back to the passage, because the same questions face Jesus. Are these guys on my team? The same questions face the people who are hearing him speak. Are we really committed to this cause? Since Tebow went to that organization, we haven't heard anything from him, bar one 30-second interview. Now, I can already hear what people are saying. Has he sold out his faith to play football? Or is he just being part of the team? You can already hear the questions and the debates. Is he really part of the team? Is he going to be? Is he going to work out there, or is he going to get thrown out? It's the same questions that face these who say they have believed in Jesus Christ. As we come to John chapter 8 and verse 31. And of course, the question that Jesus addresses to them is rhetorical, because he knows the answer. He is divine. Bill Belichick doesn't know the answer, although some people think he might. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples." These questions that Jesus now asks are designed to help the people who are setting out to follow him work out where they are, work out where they believe, work out whether they are part of the team or not. Indeed, these questions that Jesus asks are designed to root out those who think they follow him and tragically aren't. Now, you know, that's terribly important. That's vitally important. It really is a terrible place to be if you think you're a Christian and you're not, because you think you're safe and you think you're heading for heaven, but the reality, as Christ looks at you, is that you're not. Now, whilst that's a terrifying thought to have to think about, the fact that Jesus has thought about it and addressed it to these people should make you feel much better. Because Jesus Christ does not want that situation to carry on. And with the people who are before him, who are in that situation, he will not let it carry on. He will not let them delude themselves. And I honestly believe that he won't let it carry on today in our hearts and mind. Look at verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him. Now, what that means is that at some point in the past, they had started to believe, but they carried on. It's not so clear in English, but it's very clear in the Greek. They had started to believe, and they were still believing. Okay? That's what it means in the English. To those people, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching." But you see, Jesus won't let these people carry on as they are, because what they think they're doing, they're not doing. In verse 38, in verse 41, and in verse 44, thank you, Tom, we read that he tells them exactly where they stand. "I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father." They don't catch it the first time, but he's saying that God the Father and your Father aren't the same. "You're doing the works of your own father." He says it again more clearly. And finally, he says, "You belong to your father, the devil." He spells it out very plainly for them in his compassion. And if you're feeling already, as I've addressed this question this morning, that your conscience prick you, hear it come with Christ's compassion to help you find out where you stand and what you believe and to move on, not with any sense of condemnation. Because that is Christ's purpose. And he calls them sons of the devil. Now, that's not some movie maker's weird idea of a son. I know tracks are safer when they are banked. And I know trains go safer, faster around corners when they can pivot and do all the things that these fancy modern trains do. And I said to him, "It'll be fine, it'll be good, and it'll be safe." And when I got done that train, I sat on that train, I was trying to read and I was trying to write, and I was thinking, I'm not so sure. But I got off the train at the other end and realized that I'd got from London to Warrington in something much less than 2 hours. And I know how that line winds because I've seen it on a map. I know how fast that train ran through all those bends. I can now tell you factually, it's safe and it's fast. And yeah, all right, it was a weird feeling to start with, but by the end of the ride, I was sitting there reading and writing as if nothing was going on, because I had so much more than just mental assent. I was holding to my teaching, but I knew it, practically lived it out. I knew the truth of the matter as I had tried it. And finally, the end result, and I really must be brief, we will be free. This is the freedom of choosing to do what we ought to do. It's not the freedom of license to choose to do whatever we like and sin again. I think verse 36 is where we will end today. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. These others are claiming freedom. We're Jews. We believe you, Jesus, as far as it agrees with our prejudices, and we're free. But their freedom extends to abusive language and attempted murder. That doesn't sound like freedom to me. That sounds like they're bound up in their anger. And if they did it, they'd be bound up in their sin and their guilt. They might even be bound up in jail if it was an inappropriate murder and people were caught up. That sounds like a terrible mess to me. It doesn't sound like freedom. But Jesus Christ says, now that you are mine, if indeed you are, hold on to this teaching. You will know that it is true, and you will be free. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your truth. Thank you for the teaching we have from Christ. We thank you for the way it challenges us. We thank you for the compassion contained within it, that he does not wish us to be confused or mistaken, but he wants us to know the truth. Indeed, we thank you, our Father, that this truth is knowable, that you have sent Jesus that we might know it, that your God, you, the Holy Spirit, you come and enable us to know it. And Father, I pray this morning that if there's anyone here who has yet to understand this truth, that now might be the moment, that you open their heart and their mind to really understand that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Oh, our Father, will you take us deeper into your truth, that we may know it more truly, we may live it more fully, and we may enjoy the freedom that you give us, so that we can demonstrate to this world that when the Son sets us free, we're free indeed. Amen.